Before I read from the last chapter of the book of Revelation, I'm going to read from the first chapter of the Gospel of John. I'm going to read the opening verses and then verse 14. If you don't have to turn to it, but if somebody has the Pew Bible number, if you shout it out, I'll reinforce it. Okay, you can follow along and listen. Reading first from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, this is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And then now to the reading that is listed, and that is from the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, reading at verse 12 till the end of the book. See, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Although not originally planned, this is a good week to end our study of the book of Revelation. Because, not just because we're going to have, you know, lunch afterwards to celebrate completing it, but because the book of Revelation is an Advent book. Of almost any other book in the Bible, Revelation is appropriate for Advent. But the Advent season is, it's kind of an interesting one for Christians. You know, the secular world has so taken over this season that we already start singing Christmas carols. You know, I gave up on that battle years ago of trying to hold off and not sing Christmas carols in Advent because it's not Christmas season yet. Christmas season is 12 days that starts on Christmas Day and goes through January 6th, which is Epiphany. But by then, we're pretty much done with Christmas. I mean, you know, the trees falling down, you know, and the presence of all, some of them have been destroyed, you know, and the wrapping's gone out and everything. So we really take Advent as a Christmas season. But the readings for Advent and the church tradition of Advent is about getting ready for Christmas. Actually, it's remembering how God prepared God's people from the beginning of God's people to get ready for the birth of Christ. Advent is a season, I mean, we read, O come, Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel. You know, it points back to the time when Israel was in slavery in Egypt. And they longed for God to send a Savior. It's that longing that is a part of the Advent season. And on through the history of God's people, there has been that longing for God to make not only himself known and visible, but to save his people. And often that was viewed in militaristic terms. They wanted another one like David to come and conquer the Philistines of their day and to set up a kingdom and to have it be Jerusalem. And right before the years of the birth of Jesus, with the Roman Empire having conquered, and again the Jewish people and the Holy Land as we know it, and Jerusalem, they were again a people under oppression, longing for God's Savior to come so that there would be justice and peace for them. That's Advent. Well, that's just what we've been learning all about the book of Revelation. Although the book of Revelation is a post-Christmas book, it's very much an Advent book. Because Revelation, of course, Jesus has come. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. But now, and it's also part of the, this is where it gets a little tricky, it's also part of the Christian Advent tradition to not only remember the longing of God's people to send a Savior fulfilled in Christmas and Christ coming again, but the longing God's people have had since then. Not only at the time of the New Testament and still the oppression and persecution of the Roman Empire, as we have talked about it on and on and on and on in the world of that day, but our own day. Today, the longing of God's people for God to save us from this crazy world in which we live. And so Revelation looks forward to God sending the Savior again. The second coming. Advent means coming, come. O come, Emmanuel, venite, come, let us adore him. The book here over and over again, it says, I'm coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the longing. That's the promise that we've read about and the hope that God's people have had since the beginning of God's people, that God is going to send the Savior. The book of Revelation is an Advent book. It's a book for today. The symbolism we can get caught up in, and we can get so tied into things that we can become very confused. But as I've said from the very beginning, it's a very simple message. God wins. Therefore, we win. The Savior does come. Justice is established. Peace does reign. Evil is destroyed. And so much of the plagues and the judgment and all that stuff we don't like about the book of Revelation, it is in the world, as I've said before, it's like every single drop of evil in the world has to be wrung out, exposed, dealt with, till there is no more. That's the Advent message. But you know what? The book of Revelation is a Christmas book. Bet you didn't see that one coming today. If ever there were a Christmas book, it's the book of Revelation. The heart of Christmas is that the longing for God to send the Savior is that God Himself shows up. Is that the Savior who is born in Bethlehem is God's Son. Is God incarnate. The heart of the Christ, that's the heart of the Christmas message. You know, we compare the Christmas in this book about angels and a star and depression and shepherds and sheep. That stuff's Christmas. That stuff's in the book of Revelation, as we've read. But the heart of Christmas and the Christmas message is that in the beginning was the Word, and that's a philosophical term, a biblical term for the Son of God, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It was in the beginning. Everything was created through and for Him. And then here comes Christmas, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what the imagery of dwelt is very specific. If you have some Bibles, study Bibles, it'll tell you the word dwelt is tabernacled. Eugene Peterson uses the phrase God moved into the neighborhood. Another one uses the phrase God pitched His tent in our midst. That's the message of Christmas, that in Jesus Christ, God is coming to live here in the person of Christ, to pitch His tent, to tabernacle, to move into the neighborhood, to be the Savior of the world, not from a distance, but directly involved. That's Christmas. Well, in chapter 21, we have some of the most beautiful words in the Bible. Excuse me. I heard, verse 3, a loud voice from the throne saying, listen now, listen. Here's Christmas. Christmas is coming in this passage. But unlike the Christmas that came before, this is the eternal Christmas. This is Christmas forever. The home of God is among mortals, this says. The home of God is among men and women. You know what home is? The tabernacle of God. Same word that John uses in John 1:14. God has come in the New Jerusalem to pitch His tent. The tabernacle. The symbolism of the very presence of God in the midst of the people in the Old Testament was that He came into the tent of meeting, the Holy of Holies. And that was institutionalized in the temple itself, in the Holy of Holies. That was the place where heaven and earth met. That was the tabernacle. That was the tent where the marriage of heaven and earth, God and humanity. And when the Word became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled in our midst, we could see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Revelation, it says it, the tabernacle of God. God's going to move into the neighborhood again. You know who's coming home for Christmas? God is coming home for Christmas. God is coming to the world He created, and heaven and earth are going to be one. There won't need to be a tabernacle, because God will be tabernacled among them. That's what this verb is. He will dwell with them. He will tabernacle with them. It's kind of an odd phrasing, but it's saying He's making His home with us. He's pitching His tent. He did it in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle in the wilderness. there was a touch point between heaven and earth. He did it in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, where only the priest could go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement, because the presence, the very presence of God and the majesty and glory of God was there. That was another touch point. That was God was tabernacling among his people. But then Jesus was born. And he's the temple. He's where heaven and earth merge. He is the marriage of heaven and earth. He is the marriage of God and humanity. And it's forever. He never stops being God. He never stops being human. But there will be a day described in the book of Revelation, the blessed hope described throughout the scripture, when evil will be destroyed and God will tabernacle among his people, among the world that he has made. The presence of God, the glory of God, will not be restricted to one tent. It will not be restricted to one human Christ, divine being. It will be everywhere. Because God is coming home for Christmas. And it will never end. And there will be no more tears. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more evil. There will be no more death. I'm coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In case you couldn't hear me because I dropped my voice, because I do that and I'm catching myself, what I ended with was by saying, I am coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.